This episode is brought to you by Home Team Inspection Service. When you partner with Home Team, you're getting more than a home inspection. You're delivering the home team experience. With a team approach, fast turnarounds, and package options that include home inspection warranties, Home Team helps real estate pros stand out. Plus, many locations now offer pay at close, giving your clients flexibility when they need it most. Schedule your next inspection with confidence at HomeTeam.com.
Change is inevitable. It's going to happen. Growth is optional. Those who adapt to change and grow evolve. Those that do not adapt to change and grow do not evolve.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Color of Money podcast. Hey, this is two episodes consecutively where you have all of the hosts. This has been a long time since we've all been to get together, and I believe it's because of our guests today. We have Bo Minkiti, Julia Lachey, Daniel Dixon, and myself. And our guest for the day is the incomparable none other than Mark Willis.
Hello there. I'm honored to be on the podcast, and I am especially honored to be in the presence of such great leaders. All of you are people that I admire greatly and have the utmost respect for, and so it's an honor.
I came into Keller Williams in 2004. Mark Willis was there as the president and CEO at the time, and Mark and I have a long history. We've grown a kinship over the years. And one of the beautiful things that I always liked about Mark is his sincerity. I've always gotten a transparent Mark. And that's what I've always loved about it. If the baby was ugly, he called the baby ugly. And I called the baby ugly one time because I told him, I said, how am I going to take these marketing materials back to my marketplace? And none of these marketing materials look like the people in my marketplace. Well, shortly thereafter, there were black folks on the marketing material. And I was appreciative. And then I think they went a little bit overboard because every time we had an event.
Black people all over everything.
But it was, which is cool. And I was laughing because, you know, they were all from our market center. I guess we were the only market center that really represented that well at that time anyway. But it was great. And the whole idea is that I've come to know and grow with Mark to say whatever he says, he's going to stand behind. And that's one thing I've always respected about him and his roles. And I appreciate that. And we just want to make sure we have a great, not make sure, we're going to have a great conversation today. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a great podcast today with our great host, Mark Willis, the Chief Leadership Officer at Keller Williams Realty International. Mark, thank you for being here.
Well, Emmerich, I'm honored. I will share a couple of things because you are my brother from another mother in that you and I have the same behavioral style. On the ABA, we were both 8714s. We are both the fourth of four children, I think. Am I right about that?
Yeah.
So Emmerich and I learned early on that we had a lot in common and we built a dear friendship that I treasure.
Mark, let me tell you a little bit about what we normally talk about on this podcast. This podcast, of course, is a Color of Money podcast, and our tagline is to help people earn more, learn more, and build wealth. We do that in four different types of conversations. We either talk about leadership, we talk about real estate businesses, entrepreneurship, we talk about development, or we talk about literally just wealth building. On our last podcast, we had a gentleman who was in a group with me called High Capacity Leaders, and he talked about wealth building because he runs an organization called Reconstructing Wealth. We were hoping that you and your many roles as the leader of all leaders would be willing to talk to us today specifically about the leadership track and roles in which people can apply leadership skills to building wealth. So that's kind of the nature of the conversation and how we'd like to take that today, if that's okay with you.
I love that.
Because I'm sure you could talk about many things, but of course, being you were the CEO of the largest real estate company in the world, the largest real estate franchise by agent count in the world, and you've had tons of different leadership roles throughout not just the tenure with KW, but other places as well. We'd love to kind of just talk a little bit about some of those things and how you could help us and our listeners engage in leadership to some of the things we were saying before we went live on the podcast to build successful businesses through our leadership, to build successful financial lives through our leadership styles and all of those things. And particularly what we were talking about before we went live was adaptability, which right now is a big thing for a lot of people because a lot of things have changed. Last year was an interesting real estate market, and now the world is interesting. Things that once were aren't, and there's constant change every day. So could you start maybe by talking to us about not necessarily how Keller Williams has changed, but just how do leaders adapt to change, and maybe sometimes where you've had to adapt to change and lessons that we could learn from that?
Certainly. So early in my real estate career, as a leader, I was in one of my first leadership roles. I went to a seminar, and the speaker made this statement. He said, change is inevitable. It's going to happen. Growth is optional. Those who adapt to change and grow evolve. Those that do not adapt to change and grow do not evolve. And so I look at leadership in general as a call to evolve, as a calling that it really requires a decision. Are you going to evolve and adapt to the change that's occurring? Or are you going to ignore it? Because we all have a choice. And I find that the leaders that have long-term careers are aware of what the present reality of the circumstances of the world that they're in represent. And they adapt to the present reality. You know, when I teach leadership, I always say that the first habit of every effective leader is the reality habit, which is the ability to recognize what's going on right now and adapt to it. And to call out the truth of what's going on right now, right?
I love that, Mark. Like we said a couple of times in the podcast, in other ways, that like this role of the leader is to see things as they are, not worse than they are, like see the reality and not get carried away in the emotion of the reality is good or bad.
That's kind of hard, isn't it?
Yeah, it's one of the hardest things in the world to do, right? Because you want life to either be good or bad. And I think everyone wants to say, well, reality, good or bad? Well, it just is, right? The second thing, though, was see things as they can be,
yeah,
and then go make them so. So I'd love for you to share with us a little bit about, I mean, I just love what you said. In adapting to the present reality, how do you see leadership in both seeing that thing the way it is, and then what's the leader's role in moving it somewhere else?
First of all, I think to lead, you have to know who you are. And so as a leader, you have to have absolute clarity about your own authentic self and what your own authentic motivations are. So you have to know who you are. You have to know where you're going. And so in knowing who you are, then you look at how things are. How are things right now? And then how do I want them to be based on what's possible? You know, we say think big, aim high, act bold. I've always been a big thinker. That's one thing that no one ever had to teach me. And I think I was a big thinker because I wanted a big life. And so I think when we talk about where things are, and using kind of combining what you said, Bo, in terms of what things can be, that's all determined by who we are and what we can be. And I think a lot of people lose sight of that. You know, leadership begins with self-awareness. Once we're aware of who we are, what our motivations are and what we want, it's real easy to get it. I'll tell you a quick story. In my mid-20s, I read a book called Creative Visualization, and that book kind of invited me to go through a process of imagining the life that I wanted to build. And the author is a lady by the name of Shakti Gawain, and Shakti actually had us visualize our perfect lives. And then she went a step farther and said, okay, now that you planted this very clear picture in your mind as to where you want to be, now you need to draw a picture of you receiving and being everything that vision represents. And so I can't draw worth a darn, but I drew pictures of myself. And one of the pictures that I drew was me standing at a podium, and this was at 25 years old. I'm 63 today. I was standing at a podium congratulating the largest audience of real estate agents ever congregated in one room and congratulating them for building the number one real estate company in the world. Mm. Now, fast forward 27 years, 28 years later, I was doing exactly that. And so, and by the way, the author of the Million Dollar Habits book, Robert Ringer, talked about a theory called the holographic brain theory that says that the brain itself is, and this is all based on quantum physics, is a quantum mechanism or quantum organism. And all parts of the brain are attached to the others. And he says, if you can implant a vision and you can hold that vision through challenging times, through tough times, and never let go of that vision, life will automatically organize circumstances so that you become what you envision. And so I took that as gospel. I thought, okay, there's truth to that. And I got real clear about the life that I wanted to build. And so along the way, there was a lot of adapting that had to occur. I can promise you that. And the world changed a lot. And yet my vision never did change. And I held on to it.
You know, that's interesting, Mark, because when we start talking about that, I don't think we focus on that enough. And there's a saying that when you put intentionality behind your action and it's powered by a vision, the universe and God will conspire to help you make that come to reality.
100%. We all need to be reminded of that on a regular basis.
Is this the part where me and Daniel get to talk about vision boards? Y'all know how much I like to talk about vision boards.
What you going to do with the vision board? You can talk about it. Yeah. Do it. Sometimes people just put pictures up there. And what does this mean? And you ask them, they say, well, I just thought it was a good picture. Well, damn, you just defeat the reason for having the vision board. Right. You just put a nice picture up there.
Yeah, I just had one picture.
What was the one picture?
The one picture was me standing at the podium congratulating an audience on building the number one real estate company in the world.
Right. That was it.
And I thought, okay, that's my true north. That's where I'm going. I have to tell you a quick story that when I created that vision, I owned an independent real estate company in Austin. And then later I sold that to Coldwell Banker and I became a branch manager for a Coldwell Banker office. So I thought, okay, well, maybe Coldwell Banker is the vehicle. And then Coldwell Banker had a different view of the real estate agent than my view. I thought like Gary Keller. And I met Gary Keller, and I thought, okay, Keller Williams is the vehicle that will get us there. And back then, we had less than 400 agents. Everybody told me that I was insane. When I would tell them, you know, I'd be sitting with a recruit and I'd say, well, I do want to say one thing to you. And that is whether you choose to join us on this journey or not, you need to remember this one thing that I'm going to tell you. You will look back on this conversation. If you don't choose to join, you'll look back on this conversation and you'll say, wow, I remember when that young leader, I was about 30 years old at the time, so I guess that's young. I remember when that young leader said, you'll look back at this and you will say, wow, Keller Williams really did make it. And so I kept holding on to that vision and never let go of it, even when everybody around me was looking at me saying, you're crazy.
That's a good question that I have. I'm the newest OP on this podcast right now. And I have this, you know, wonderful vision. And then challenges come, right? And it could be the adapting to change challenges of the social climate, the political climate, the anything could happen. And in my particular case, we have a market center location problem. There's all these different problems that come to hinder the vision that you might have. What do you do to continue on with the vision when you're continuously, you know, faced with a number of challenge? And I'll even go as far as to say personal challenges that people might have. And I say this to you respectfully, of course, but people throw all kinds of stuff at you. We all see it. You know what I mean? How do you keep a vision when people are like, oh, this is about, you know, they're saying all kinds of things. There's all kinds of changes happening. How do you keep the vision and stick to it regardless of all the external factors that might be happening?
Well, I think number one, you have to commit. You have to say, okay, I'm all in. Failure is not an option. And I've said failure is not an option so many times I can't count them. And the other one is, you know, I got a great one from a friend. As a lot of people who know me know, I lost my wife and best friend in the world to cancer. And I got a real good friend gave me a bracelet. And I don't wear jewelry. I wear a watch and that's it. I can't keep up with jewelry. And so I got a bracelet and I still have it. It's next to my bed and it has inscribed on the inside of it, keep effing going. Now, I shortened that and I said, it's KFG. You know, we just have to keep freaking going and not give up. And not allow the obstacles or other people's opinions or background noise or any kind of distraction to keep us from going confidently in the direction of our vision. And we've got all kinds of forces. And those forces are going to say, oh, you can't do this. You're crazy. This is too hard. You had the wrong vision. I'll tell you, the biggest obstacle you have is what Michael Singer calls the roommate in your head.
Yeah.
And in the book, The Untethered Soul, Michael Singer says that if you lived with someone who talked to you the way you talk to yourself, you would tell that person, get the hell out of your house and never come back. You'd throw their crap out the window. But we tolerate our own self-talk that can sometimes be defeating. And it can cause us to see limiting factors and barriers. And we can either tell ourselves we're strong enough to get past this and work through it and to grow as we go through it and learn the skills we need to learn. Or you can tell yourself, oh, this is too hard. I can't do this. Everybody's saying that I'm crazy. So it's really a choice, but the most important part for me, what I'm saying, is really controlling your self-talk, Julia, because your self-talk can get you through anything or it can keep you from being what you're capable of being. And I'll say that, you know, I am very big on building my own self up with the way that I speak to myself. You will never see a time when I'm telling myself, oh, you can't do this, Mark. You're not good enough for this, Mark. The world has changed, and it's impossible today to do that. Now, I will say that there are times when we're on a path that we have to alter. And sometimes, you know, in our self-talk, and this is something I try to do as much as possible, is really lead with my intuition and what I know internally. And then to nurture that intuition with positivity. The other thing is surrounding yourself with people who are winning. not surrounding yourself with people that are not winning. And, you know, we control two things, really three things, I guess. We control who we go into relationship. We control our attitude and the way we think. And we control the actions that we take. And so it's about making sure that, number one, we're going into relationship with the right people who are aligned with us and can contribute to our journey ahead. And then it is controlling our attitude, which is becomes ultimately our self-talk. And then it is being disciplined in the actions we take.
I love that, because there's another end to that. And I understand exactly what you're saying, Julia. The whole idea is that it's none of your business what other people think of you. It's none of your business what other people say about you. It's only your business of how they think of you. And we have to carve that space out in our head of how we think of ourselves and then run in that path, and everybody else will get in line.
We do have control of that, Emmerich. How people perceive us, we control.
Home Team Inspection Service is changing the way agents and clients experience home inspections. Their team-based model, streamlined scheduling, and bundled packages, including home inspection warranties, make the process smoother from contract to closing. And with Pay at Close available in many locations, you can give your buyers more peace of mind with less upfront cost. Choose the team that works with yours. Visit hometeam.com to learn more. Mark, if I could shift the questions a little bit and ask particularly about real estate, being that you have led through multiple market cycles, multiple things. One of the things we were talking about before we went live was agents, you know, being engaged and helping agents grow big businesses. You've led through multiple market cycles, multiple changes in the organization. What's the most valuable lesson that you've learned that can help real estate agents today and apply it to their business, regardless of the interest rate, regardless of the next new shiny thing? We talked about, you know, people being drawn to the next new shiny thing. Oh, I'm going to go to this organization, or this brokerage is doing this, or this is the new thing in town, and jumping all over the place and worrying about what the lawsuits are going to be. How do you navigate through all that for you personally? Has there been a valuable leadership lesson that you've learned that could help the agents that are listening to this podcast today?
Well, I tell you, I got great advice from my mother about 10 months into my first year in the real estate industry. You know, I sold 42 homes the first year I was in real estate, what? 1984. And that was pretty good. And I had an opportunity to go work for a developer. And I was offered a, you know, a shiny, new, beautiful Buick. And
they gave away Buicks for selling houses?
They were giving me a Buick Electra Limited.
Oh, Mark, I'm going to need y'all to step up the game. Yeah, I did.
I mean, this is 1985 or something like that. And a big office. And he wanted me to, like, work with him. And I called my parents and I told them. And my mother said, Mark, I'm going to tell you something, son. She said, a rolling stone gathers no moss. Stay where you are. Don't be looking for the next bright, shiny object. Because if you're in search of bright, shiny objects, you're not becoming what you're capable of being. And so you should stay where you are. You plant those roots. Let them go deep. And you will have what you want. But if you think that the grass is greener on the other side of the fence, you're mistaken. The grass only becomes greener when you water it and you fertilize it. And the best place to do that is right where you are. And, you know, that lesson, I didn't realize at the time it was the right message for me to hear, because the next year I went on, sold 61 homes, bought the company where I was, you know, the top agent. And, you know, I did that when the Austin market was going through the biggest downturn in the history of Austin, Texas. And didn't really know it was coming when it happened. And yet we took that firm and we doubled the market share during a down market cycle. And so I learned very early the down markets create opportunity. But when you're thinking that the opportunity is going to be greater because of where you go rather than what you do, you're falling into a trap that can keep you from being what you're capable of being. Because you're right, Julia, there are shiny objects all around us. And if we think that by just going to the shiny object, we're going to get better, it's a very high probability that we're going to be disappointed with that. And, you know, I have to say that if you want to build a great career worth having, aimed at owning a great business worth owning, aimed at having a great life worth living, there's nobody, no other real estate company teaches the principles that KW does. There's no other company that has the culture or the platform for leaders. And yet, the real estate industry is a local service industry. And so it's about the local leader. And is the local leader everything that they're capable of being? And are they capable of earning the hearts and minds of the people that they serve? And you earn the hearts and minds of the people you serve by getting to know them and spending time making sure you have clarity about, do I understand this person? And then helping them get what they want. But it's not until you help them get what they want that they will help you get what you want.
I wanted to challenge that just really quick, though, Mark. What people say they want, what they're willing to do to get it, are two very different things. We're in an industry where 90% of agents make 10% of the money, and 10% of us make 90% of the money or so. So how do you get through to the agents to do the work to get the thing on the vision board? You created your vision, and you wrote it, and you were standing at the podium, and you were willing to do all of the work and bust your butt to get there. How do we bridge that gap with agents in our industry?
Let me just say this 90-10 thing, my blink on that, Daniel, is that I would ask the person I'm talking to, do you intend to be the 90% that does 10% of the business? Or do you intend to be the 10% that does 90% of the business? See, that choice is an individual choice. And that's why, you know, earlier I said that who you surround yourself with matters. And I look at a lot of our leaders in the company and I say, okay, what, who are your top five agents that you have in your market center? And are they doing better this year than they did last year, regardless of what the market is?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the local leader has a responsibility to those people to help them do better. Because, you know, at the end of the day, there are still thousands of real estate transactions that are going to happen this month in most large markets. How many of those 1,000 transactions can you find? It's really what we get paid to do. And so I want to say one more thing. When we built KW, we built it for the most talented. We did not build it for the middle producers or the 90% that did 10% of the business. We built it for the 10% that did 90% of the business. And, you know, we really boldly stepped out there and said, okay, it's the millionaire real estate agent. And we built our organization around that concept. And so it is, don't worry so much about serving the 90%, worry about serving the 10%. Worry more about serving the 10%, because if the 10% is happy, they'll pull the 90% up. But if they're not happy and engaged, they're not going to pull anybody up, and they're not going to be loyal to you. And so, and I can keep going with that a little bit, because we serve the top, and then we serve the new. Because there are a lot of agents that are in that class of brand new people in the industry that are going to the top because they've already decided they're going to be a part of the 10%, not the 90%. And so I think those are the two communities we serve. And then for the middle, we help them with self-discipline, lead generation, and building effective habits that will help them earn the living that they want to earn. But it's not for any of us to say what somebody else's goals should be or could be. It's for us to find people who are on a path where they have a big vision for their lives.
Just a sort of add-on question around that. Say you're somebody building a market center or building any sort of organization, because I think these are not lessons specific to agents or specific to one local situation. They're leadership lessons. As one sort of gets size and scale and you build, this idea of that top 10%, like your top agents, they're usually a little wild. They're a little reckless. They break boundaries, right? And as you grow, you start to put in...
So do I, by the way.
You start putting in place all these structures, right? And it goes back to engage. We want people to come in and do the thing the way we want them to do it. And I think one of the challenges I've seen a lot that I've faced as a leader is I start to mistake compliance for talent. And that talent is not normally compliant. And so if I start to look at my market center and say, well, who shows up and does it exactly the way I want, participates in the ALC exactly the way I want, does what I want, I may start building an organization that surrounds myself with mediocrity and yes people versus those who truly are on a vision to change something, to do something, and move it somewhere. And so like, how do you as a leader stay fresh and calibrate your own mindset around those things? Where I'm trying to figure out, okay, am I just liking this person because they are they really talented, or are they just like kind of making me feel good because I got a lot of power now and they say the right things?
Well, first of all, amen to the whole concept of not mistaking compliant people for talented people. Because I've got to tell you, I've never known anybody who was highly talented who was highly compliant.
That's why now, Gary likes Daniel so much.
Well, you know what? I think this is where Gary has the wisdom to know that people who push are talent. Now, if you push, you're going to get my attention more than somebody who just falls into line. Back when I was a real estate agent, you couldn't get my paperwork until I needed a commission check. And so I have never forgotten that the people I serve that are the top are wired just like I am. And compliance, you know, one thing I'll say about that, Bo, is that where we have to manage ourselves is in thinking that loyalty means that you have to agree with me. Loyalty does not mean conformity. You don't have to agree with me to be loyal to me. And so I've always welcomed feedback from people who are pushing, who are not compliant, because we have to understand who we're serving. And then we have to help them get what they want, even though they're not compliant.
One of the things that, you know, I think all of us who've been around Mark for a long time truly appreciate is the ability to genuinely and authentically connect with people on a human level, whether it's remembering how many, which birth order Imrik is in his family or what happened to somebody. And I want to ask you a question because it's clear that is partly amazing skill you have with names and recollection, but it also comes from your heart. It comes from the desire that you care about people enough to know them. And I'm always interested as a leader, the energy that takes at scale. You care about and know and desire to be seen and see people, yet you are leading hundreds of thousands of people. And I know that to me, at least in my experience, feels like that can be a huge weight to be carrying the hopes and dreams and hearts of so many people, especially during a difficult time when there's conflict and when things don't always go the way you know, everyone's wanting them to go. And I'm interested on your perspective, how you have the strength to carry that in a time where I could imagine that the pure just scope of it could be really burdensome to one's soul. So I'm interested in how you hold the authentic connection in the hearts of people while also navigating at scale and at difficult times.
Well, thank you for saying that, Bo, I first of all, I want to say I love people. And with every person I meet, I make a conscious effort to tune in and be present in that moment. And I try to remember one thing about them, starting with their names. And that doesn't take any energy. The only energy it takes is being present and in the moment and really receiving what they have to say. But beyond that, I'll tell you that there is a knowing that I just love people and I care deeply about people. I can often fall into carrying a weight up a hill that becomes really burdensome. And when that weight to me feels like I can't carry it any longer, I have to have an honest conversation with myself. The truth is that when you make a conscious effort to see the best in other people, and you make a conscious effort to see the best in yourself, and you make a conscious effort to really love other people, you also have to make a conscious effort to love yourself. And so there's a checks and balances system there, but none of that ever changes. Do I enjoy people? Do I care about people? And do I believe that every person has good in them? I do. I truly do. I look for that good. And, you know, we'll help somebody far more by pointing out what they do well and building them on their strengths than attacking their weaknesses.
That's good.
And I think I'm just, honestly, I think the good Lord just naturally programmed me to be that way. And so that helps me. And by the way, when things get tough, when that weight feels real burdensome, when you have people who are authentically with you on that journey, they start picking up some of that weight.
Well, Mark, we're coming to the end of our time. What would you want the listeners from today to take away from this conversation? What's the one thing that you want the audience to get from what you shared with us today?
Well, the one thing I'd want everyone to know is that if it is to be, it is up to me for every single one of us. And that's a real simple statement. But I would invite everybody to get absolute clarity about who they are, where they're going, and what they're doing, and to develop a strong mental mindset and a commitment to surround themselves with people that are on a winning journey, not people that are on a self-pitying or losing journey. And know that in particularly in this market, there is going to be a transfer of wealth that's going to occur. We see it happening right now. And we need to remind ourselves that we have a choice as to whether or not we participate in that transfer of wealth or whether or not we are victims of that transfer of wealth. And there's nothing complex about it. It's just doing the things and following the habits that the highly successful follow and learning from them and surrounding yourselves with those people and not with people that are on the losing side.
Thank you so much. Well, thank you everyone for tuning in. We'll see you next week for another great episode of the Color of Money podcast. Take care. Follow the Color of Money podcast today and get notified when new episodes are released weekly.
Be part of this transformative listening experience.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not Keller Williams Realty LLC and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information.